Chapter 3. The Old Gentleman. The children loved the station. They loved the trains and they learned all their names. Their favourite was the Green Dragon, which went past every morning at 9:15. One day they stood behind the fence and waited for the Green Dragon to come rattling out of the tunnel.
"I think the Green Dragon goes to London," said Phyllis. "That's where Father is. He hasn't written to us yet, has he? I wonder why not."
"Mother says he's been too busy," replied Roberta. "He'll write soon, I'm sure."
"When the Green Dragon goes by, let's wave to it," said Phyllis, "to send Father our love."
So when the train appeared from the tunnel, all the children waved their handkerchiefs, and someone waved back. It was an old gentleman who went to London on the Green Dragon every morning. He had white hair, a pink smiling face, and a funny little hat. After that, the children and the old gentleman waved to each other every day. While the children were waving at the train, Mother was very busy at home writing her stories. One day, she heard that one of them was to be printed in a magazine called The Children's Globe.
"Let's celebrate," cried Mother. "Peter, go to the village and buy some cakes for our tea."
On his way to the village, Peter met the station master. His face went red and he looked down at his feet in shame. But the station master smiled at Peter.
"Good morning," he said. He knew Peter was really a good boy.
"Good morning," replied Peter. I'm sorry about the coal."
Peter looked down at his feet again.
"That's in the past," smiled the station master. "Let's say no more about it. Now, where are you off to this morning?"
"I'm going to buy some cakes for tea," said Peter.
"But I thought you were poor,"
replied the station master.
"We are, but Mother writes stories for children, and when she sells one, we have cakes for tea," explained Peter.
"You must be very proud of your clever mother," the station master smiled. "Now, I must go back to the station. Come and see us one day."
The next morning, after they had waved to the old gentleman on the train and he had waved back, the children set off to the station.
"It will be all right," said Peter. "I met the station master yesterday and he invited us to visit him."
When they arrived, they found the porter on the platform. They had plenty of questions for him, and he seemed to enjoy answering them. They saw the station master too. He gave each of them an orange, and he gave Peter a little notebook.
"You can write down the names of the trains, you see," he said. "It's called train spotting."
The next day, Mother was ill. She had to stay in bed.
"My head hurts," she said, "and my throat is sore, and my face is so hot."
In the evening, she felt much worse.
"Please go and fetch Dr. Forrest,"
she whispered to Peter. So off he went to the village to fetch the doctor. When Peter arrived at the doctor's house, he said,
"Please come and see my mother, Dr. Forrest. She is sick."
Dr. Forrest picked up his medical bag and followed Peter down the road. Peter and Dr. Forrest talked as they walked back to Three Chimneys. The doctor was interested in important things such as railways and rabbits. Peter decided that he liked him. When they arrived at the house, Peter led Dr. Forrest up to Mother's room. After a while, Dr. Forrest came back downstairs.
"Your mother has flu, my dear," said Dr. Forrest to Roberta. "She will need looking after. Do you want to be my nurse?"
"Yes, please, Dr. Forrest," said Roberta.
Tell me what I can do to help.
I've left her some medicine. Now you must make sure that she eats good food to make her stronger. Cold meat and cheese, fresh fruit and milk, that sort of thing. I will make a list for you.
When Dr. Forrest had gone, Roberta showed the list to Mother. She smiled and shook her head sadly.
We can't afford those things, said Mother. Tell Mrs. Viney to make us all some soup. Roberta, please will you wash my hands and face? I feel so hot.
Roberta made Mother comfortable, and then she went downstairs. We will have to try to find enough money to buy the things on the list.
I've got a shilling, Roberta told the others.
We need much more than our pocket money, said Peter.
Roberta agreed.
We must think of another way to get the things Mother needs, she said. Everybody, think as hard as you can.
They all thought hard for a few minutes. Then they talked. Later, when Roberta was sitting with Mother, Peter and Phyllis found some scissors, a paintbrush and some black paint. Phyllis took an old white sheet from the cupboard. Then they set to work. Roberta slept in Mother's room that night. Mother was very ill, and Roberta often had to give her water or milk to drink. But in the morning, Mother looked better.
I feel a bit better now. I will be all right in a few days, she said.
Dr. Forrest came back.
Did you get the things on the list? He asked. I didn't see any fresh fruit in your mother's room.
Not yet, replied Roberta, but I will get them tomorrow.
When the green dragon came chugging out of the tunnel, the old gentleman opened the window so he could wave to the children. But there was only one child behind the fence today, the boy, and he was pointing at something. Quickly, the old gentleman put on his glasses. He saw a white sheet pinned to the fence. A message had been written on it in huge black letters.
We have something to give you. Please be ready.
The old gentleman looked out of the open window. So did several other passengers. At first, they saw nothing unusual, just the fence and the trees and the wild flowers at the side of the track. But then, as the train picked up speed, a little girl reached over the fence. She had something white in her hand.
I thought I'd missed you, she gasped.
She gave the old gentleman an envelope. And then the green dragon gave a long hiss and puffed away down the track. The old gentleman opened the envelope and took out a letter. This is what he read.
Dear Mister, we do not know your name. Our mother is ill, and the doctor says that she must eat good food, like meat and fresh fruit and cheese. But we can't afford to buy these things. Our father is in London, and we do not have his address, so we can't ask him for money. Will you help us? Our father will pay you back when he can. If he has lost all his money, we promise that we will pay you when we grow up. Signed, Roberta, Peter, Phyllis. P.S. We do not know which train you take in the evening. Please would you give the parcel to the station master? Tell him it is for Peter, the boy who took the coal.
The old gentleman smiled to himself and put the letter in his pocket. At about 6 o'clock that evening, the porter arrived, holding a large basket.
An old gentleman left this at the station, he said. The station master told me to bring it to you straight away.
Thank you, cried Peter. I'm sorry I can't pay you.
I don't want anything, smiled the porter. Here, these are for your mother.
He lifted his cap and handed Roberta a bunch of sweet-smelling pink roses.
Thank you very much, said Roberta.
When the porter left, the children looked in the basket. Inside, they found 2 chickens, some cold beef, apples, peaches, grapes, cream, jam, cakes, and biscuits. There was a letter too.
Dear Roberta and Peter and Phyllis, here are the things for your mother. She will want to know where they came from. Just tell her they are from a friend. When she is quite better, you can tell her the whole story. If she says you were wrong to ask me for the food, tell her that I think you did the right thing, and I am happy to help. I hope she is feeling a little better. Yours, Mr. They couldn't read the name at the bottom of the letter.
I think it was the right thing to do, said Phyllis.
Of course it was, agreed Roberta.
Maybe it was, said Peter, but I don't look forward to telling Mother.
One morning, about 2 weeks later, Mother sat up in bed and said, I feel much better today. I'm going to get up and do some writing. The children found the rest of the old sheet and wrote another message in big black letters. Mother is better. Thank you. They pinned it to the fence by the railway.
We must tell Mother all about the old gentleman now, said Roberta.
So they went home and told her the whole story. Mother was very angry. She cried, and the children all cried with her. Then Mother dried her eyes on her handkerchief.
I'm sorry I was so angry, she said. And it's true that we are poor now, but we have enough money for the things we need. You mustn't tell strangers about our problems, and you must never ask them for things. You will remember that, won't you?
The children promised tearfully that they would. And now I shall write a letter to the old gentleman to thank him, she continued. He was so kind. You can give the letter to the station master, and then we will say no more about it. Mother wrote the letter, and the children took it to the station master. They found him in the little ticket office. Then they went to the porter's room. They talked to the porter for some time and learned some interesting facts. They learned that the porter's name was Mr. Perks, and that he had a wife and 3 children. And they learned that the lights at the front of the train were called the headlights, and the lights at the back were called the taillights.
So trains really are dragons, whispered Phyllis, with proper heads and tails.